Zek knew that Ahmed had gotten along well enough in battle school. Their home countries were powerless to insist on religious privileges, so the children in battle school had been granted exemptions from the obligations of Muslims to pray. But what would he do now that the Christians were getting their Santa Claus? Pakistan had been formed as a Muslim country. There was no distinction between what was national and what was Muslim. It apparently took Ahmed 2 days to organize things, especially because it was impossible to ascertain at any given time which Earthside time zone they were in, or directly above, and therefore what times they should pray. They couldn't even find out what time it was in Mecca and use that schedule. So Ahmed and other Muslim students apparently worked it out so that they would pray during times when they were not in class and would continue to use the exemption for those students who were in an actual battle at a prayer time. The result was a demonstration of piety at breakfast. At first, it seemed only a half dozen Muslims were involved, the students prostrating themselves and facing, not Mecca, which would have been impossible, but to port side, which faced the sun. But once the praying began, other Muslim students took note, and at first a few, then more and more, joined in the praying. Zek sat at the table, eating without conversation with his supposed comrades in Rat Army. He pretended not to notice or care, but he was delighted, because Dink grasped the meaning almost at once. The prayer was a Muslim response to Dink's Santa Claus campaign. There was no way the commandant could ignore this. "So maybe it's a good thing," Dink murmured to Flip, who was sitting next to him. Zek knew it was not a good thing. Muslims had renounced terrorism many years ago, after the disastrous Sunni-Shiite war, and had even reconciled with Israel and made common economic cause. But everyone knew how much resentment still seethed within the Muslim world, with many Muslims believing they were treated unfairly by the hegemony. Everyone knew of the imams and ayatollahs who claimed, loudly, that what was needed was not a secular hegemony, but a caliph to unify the world in worship of God. When we live by Sharia, God will protect us from these monsters. When God sends a warning, we are wise to listen. Instead, we do the opposite, and God will not protect us when we are in rebellion against Him. It was language Zek understood. Apart from their religious delusions, they had the courage of their faith. They were not afraid to speak up, and they had numbers enough to force people to listen to them. They would be heard by those who had long since stopped even pretending to listen to Zek. The next prayer time was at the end of lunch. The Muslims had spread the word, and all those who intended to pray lingered in the mess hall. Zek had already heard that the same thing happened in the commander's mess at breakfast, but now most of the Muslim commanders had come into the main mess hall to join their soldiers in prayer. Colonel Graf came into the mess hall just before the announced time of prayer. "Religious observance in battle school is forbidden," he said loudly. "Muslims have been granted an exemption from the requirement of daily prayers. So any Muslim student who insists on a public display of religious rituals will be disciplined, and any commanders or tune leaders who take part will immediately and permanently lose their rank." Graf had already turned to leave when Ahmed called out, "What about Santa Claus?" "As far as I know," said Graf, "there is no religious ritual associated with Santa Claus, and Santa Claus has not been sighted here in battle school." "Double standard!" shouted Ahmed, and several others echoed him. Graf ignored him and left the mess hall. The door had not closed when 2 dozen Marines came through the door and stationed themselves around the room. When the time for prayer came, Ahmed and several others immediately prostrated themselves. Marines came to them, forced them to their feet, and handcuffed them. The Marine lieutenant looked around the room. "Anyone else?" One more soldier lay down to pray. He was also handcuffed. No one else defied them. 5 Muslims were taken from the room. Not roughly, but not all that gently either. Zek turned his attention back to his food. "This makes you happy, doesn't it?" whispered Dink. Zek turned a blank face toward him. "You did this," said Dink softly. "I'm a Christian. I don't tell Muslims when to pray." Zek regretted speaking as soon as he finished. He should have remained silent. "You're not a good liar, Zek," said Dink. And now he was talking loud enough that the rest of the table could hear. "Don't get me wrong, I think it's one of your best points. You're used to telling the truth, so you never learned the skill of telling lies." "I don't lie," said Zek. "Your words were literally true, I'm sure. Our Muslim friends did not consult you on the timetable. But as an answer to my accusation that you did this, it was such a pathetically obvious lie. A dodge. If you really had nothing to do with it, you wouldn't have needed a dodge. You answered like someone with something to hide." This time, Zek said nothing. "You think this will help your chances of getting out of battle school. Maybe you even think it will disrupt battle school and hurt the war effort, which makes you a traitor from one point of view, or a hero of Christianity from another. But you won't stop this war, and you won't hurt battle school in the long run. You want to know what you really accomplished? Someday this war will end. If we win, then we'll all go home. The kids in this school are the brightest military minds of our generation. They'll be running things in country after country. Ahmed, someday he'll be Pakistan. And you just guaranteed that he will hate the idea of trying to live with non-Muslims in peace. In other words, you just started a war 30 or 40 years from now." "Or 10, said Wigan. "Ahmed will still be pretty young in 10 years, said Flip, chuckling a little. Zek hadn't thought of what this might lead to back on Earth. But what did Dink know? He couldn't predict the future. "I didn't start promoting Santa Claus," said Zek, meeting Dink's gaze. "No, you just reported a little private joke between 2 Dutch kids and made a big deal out of it," said Dink. "You made a big deal out of it," said Zek. "You made it into a cause. You." Zek waited. Dink sighed. "Eh, I did." He got up from the table. So did everyone else. Zek started to get up too. 2 hands on his shoulders pushed him back down. Hands from 2 different kids from Rat Army. They weren't rough. They were just firm. "Stay here for a while. You're not one of us. Don't come with us."